Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The clock under 10 seconds. And the Panthers wallop the Boston College Eagles here at Acrisure Stadium. And now Pitt goes on the road successive weeks to Florida State and then to Syracuse. Final score, Pitt 48, Boston College 7.
Fan weather. That's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sunny skies, high of 77. I do think in some parts it gets up to 80 today. It should be the final day above 80 degrees for quite some time, maybe the last time of 2025. Donnie Football in for the guys on this Monday post-Steelers bye week. They will be back tomorrow for a Tomlin Tuesday. Gorgeous Charlie Borges is here. Intern Jack is here as well. He's on the board for the middle innings here of this Monday PM team. And that was the final call from the Pitt Panthers radio network, which is 93.7 The Fan, from Saturday, a 48-7 win for Pitt over Boston College in a game that Boston College was only about a touchdown underdog. In fact, just under that. It was 5.5, I believe, going into the game because the Panthers were making a change at quarterback. No Eli Holstein in that game. We found that out late Friday night. Pony and Chris were actually going back and forth with each other about that news before it was made official. It came out on Saturday morning that Pitt would not be playing Eli Holstein in the game. And Mason Hineschill, the freshman, would be getting the start, and he was phenomenal. 30 of 41, 323 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. What a difference a year makes. The Pitt Panthers were on their way to 7-0 this time last season, and Eli Holstein was playing so well that the big worry in town was that Pitt would lose him to a bigger school. Now he is the backup quarterback, and he should get pretty comfortable on the sideline because the freshman just took his job. I get it. Boston College, not a good football program. They haven't been good in years, probably since Matt Ryan was the quarterback in the late 2000s. I understand. We also saw what happened when the other notable team in this area took on one of the worst Power Four teams in the country on Saturday. It didn't look like this. The Panthers' offense was sputtering for weeks, and then a freshman quarterback stepped in and made Cade Bell's offense go and go and go without Desmond Reed, by the way. Kenny Johnson was the big beneficiary, 9 receptions, 115 yards, and a touchdown. Does this guy give you some hope about Pitt going forward? Jack, I think you're a good guy to have on the board and in front of a microphone because you are a Pitt diehard. You are a Pitt student currently. You happen to be with us every single Monday because your schedule allows it. You're watching this game on Saturday. You're leaving Acrisure Stadium on Saturday. Pitt just beat somebody 48-7. What are you feeling? How are you feeling? does this have the season for you in a complete 180? Like, hey, I think Pitt can go to Tallahassee next week and win. I think Pitt can end up getting to 7 wins, maybe 8. Because going into this game, the big fear was they better take care of business against these bad teams or else they won't be bowl eligible. How did you feel leaving that stadium after seeing that game?
Yeah, Mason Heinschel definitely revived any sort of hope that I had for the season. He was kind of the only reason I was somewhat looking forward to watching the game. And yeah, he had the offense humming better than Holstein had since he was like, since before he got concussed last year. And I thought the two losses could have been best attributed to both Holstein and Narduzzi the first 3 weeks of the season, or first 4 weeks of the season. And with a good quarterback, I think the team is talented enough to be one of the better teams in the ACC, but I guess the road test in Tallahassee will definitely tell us a lot more.
Pitt does not have, I wish they did, I think we all wish they did at this point, they don't have UNC on their schedule. That would have been fun because it has been a, you want to talk about disaster, that's what it's been for Bill Belichick at UNC. They're at Florida State on Saturday, a noon kick. It is now a 7:30 kick against Syracuse on the 18th. Then it's NC State and Stanford. They got to collect some wins in these next four games because then you get that stretch at the end of the year. Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Miami. Man, Jack, it could be Thanksgiving weekend, and there is a possibility that Miami, yet again, is a top team in the country, and Pitt is coming at them with a freshman quarterback.
Yeah, I do remember what happened the last time Pitt took on a top five Miami team with a true freshman quarterback at home over Thanksgiving break.
And you were just a young lad then. You were only like 10 or 11 years old, I think.
I think I was like 11 when that game happened. That's how long ago it was. But yeah, I think now with the quarterback switch and how good the offense looked, I know Boston College is not at all a good football team, but that's what you're supposed to do to bad football teams, and Pitt usually doesn't do that. So it now gives me somewhat of a hope that we can maybe pull out a win against one of those three teams that we're definitely not supposed to beat.
This was a statement of sorts. And if I'm going to knock Pat Narduzzi for mistakes or pulling on the wrong strings, I have to credit him for hitting the right button here. Because he made a change when he felt like, hey, we can still save the season. We can go forward with a different quarterback. And it paid off in a big way. I think they have a real find here. I think that Heinschel can play a little bit. It took him zero time to get things going. Now, I'm not going to put them atop the ACC or anything like that, but the team needed a jolt, and sometimes you get that with a change at QB, and he gave them a surge. Pitt needs to take care of their business against the teams that are on their level or below their level, like a Boston College. I think a lot of people would go back and say, well, if he started against Louisville, that's another win for Pitt. Pitt started, they were up 17-0 in that game. They led by 10 at halftime. There's now going to be hope going into Saturday that Pitt can knock off Florida State, and maybe they can because the Seminoles, after the big early season win against Alabama, are fluttering a little bit. Then it's three unranked teams, then three ranked teams to finish things up, and Pitt could give itself a chance in any one of those. That matchup against Miami that we just mentioned, that's looming.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To be a pretty fun one. And I do feel like Pitt will pull off that typical upset against one of the four ranked teams that are left on their schedule. So the upcoming games, noon kick against Florida State in Tallahassee on Saturday. Pre-game coverage on The Fan will begin at 9, then a Syracuse game on the 18th. 7:30 kick, pre-game coverage on The Fan starts at 4:30. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. You can give us a call, shoot us a text. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up, Penguins winger Rickard Rakell joins the show. On the eve of the Penguins opening their season against the New York Rangers, we will talk some hockey with a man that scored 35 goals last season. That is next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie in for the guys this afternoon on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And hockey season is upon us. The Penguins open up tomorrow night in New York. They take on the Rangers. They take on their former coach in the Big Apple. And we are joined right now by Rickard Rakell, coming off a 35-goal season, a career high for Rakell in the 24-25 campaign. Rickard, thanks for hopping on, man. The excitement level that you have for another season of NHL action in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I mean, I'm really excited to get things going. I feel like we had a really good training camp here and had some good preseason games. And we're ready to put it to the test and see what we can do out there.
I know that you weren't here for the Marc-Andre Fleury time in Pittsburgh, but that had to be pretty cool seeing Fleury come back and play in that preseason game last weekend. What was that like for you to watch from afar?
Yeah, that was just awesome. Just to see how much how loved he is among fans and in the organization and his teammates, and just playing against him for pretty much my whole NHL career. It was awesome to, just watch it and see it and just be a small part of it and just see it ended the right way.
You've been in the league for over a decade now. Have you ever seen a preseason hockey game with that attendance level?
No, I think that was the first time. And it was loud, and it felt like almost felt like a playoff game. But yeah, I mean, he deserves everything. I mean, what he's done throughout his career and what he's done here in Pittsburgh. It was just so much fun.
Dan Muse in his first season as Penguins head coach here in the 25-26 season. Rickard, what has the working relationship been like with him since his arrival?
I mean, it's been great. He works really closely with us players and wants to get our view on our playing and what we like on the ice and what we don't like on the ice. So I feel like we're all working together to have the same goal. And it's been really good so far. And I think that that's going to help us all through the lineup as we go here.
What are some of the big differences between Mike Sullivan's style, who was here in Pittsburgh for so long? You played under him during the first portion of your time here, and now switching over to Dan Muse.
It's hard to point out just certain things, but they've both been very successful coaches, but I think we'll play a little bit more with possession with the news, and we'll see how it goes. I feel very good about it. I feel like it's been really good throughout camp, and it's been feeling really good in the games here that we played. And now the real test starts with the game tomorrow.
Penguins play the Rangers tomorrow in New York. They will get to see Mike Sullivan and his new team tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Rickard Rakell is our guest right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Rickard, a 35-goal season in 24-25. Now, you've had some seasons where you've gone over 30 goals, but that was a new career high for you. Where do you give the credit to how good you were last season?
Well, I think just the mindset coming into training camp with obviously, like the year before, it wasn't my best year, and it was I put into the work in the summer, and then just a fresh mindset. I just tried to come in and think that I was going to come in and make the team and just play my game and do what I think that I'm good at. Yeah, it worked out. So nothing has changed for this year except for just trying to become a little bit better, work on the things that I think I can improve on. And just set the bar higher. Just push for the next opportunity and just try to be better than the day before.
What's it like playing alongside Sidney Crosby, and how does he make your life easier when you're out on the ice?
Well, I think, obviously, like, he's one of the best players who's ever played this game. And it's like I try to learn from him every day, and just small things. But I think he really pushes you to, you know, every shift, not take anything lightly. Like, he expects us to go out there and every puck battle, every situation, to try score goals or do something good for our team. So I think that's the leadership that he provides, and he just tries to get the best out of everybody because that's how he's always played, and that's why he's such a good leader.
It's been highly speculated that this is the final season for Evgeny Malkin in Pittsburgh. Is that something that's on the team's mind, or do you try to keep that away when it comes down to the games?
No, it's nothing that it's being talked about among us. I mean, we're here right now, and I think Gino's looked really, really good throughout this camp. So I'm really excited to see that what he's going to do under this new systems. And I think he's going to thrive in it.
Kind of going along those same lines, Ricard, last season with the team where it was going into the trade deadline and as things heated up, your name got thrown out there a ton. Is it difficult to focus game by game, night by night, when your name gets thrown around in trade rumors around that part of the season?
Obviously, like, you try to not read everything and all that, but it's kind of impossible with the world that we're living in. But nothing really changes for me. Like, you can get traded if you're not playing good enough. Your name is going to be thrown out there if you're playing really well. So I guess if you don't hear anything, it's if you're just mediocre. So I'm not trying to go for that. I'm going to try to just play my game, play the best hockey that I can, and then try to do everything I can for the Penguins to win as many hockey games as we can.
As we venture into this next season, and you're coming off 35 goals last season, did you change anything with your off-season prep, your workouts, or did you try to keep those the same?
No, it was pretty much the same. I think the biggest thing for me was just maintaining what I did last summer throughout last season, so I can try to even take another step in my physique and all that for this year. So I think it's going to be the same mindset coming into this year. It's just try to maintain it and just get better for every year.
The Penguins will play a pair of games against the Nashville Predators in Sweden this season. Is that something, as a native to the country, that you get a little bit more excited about?
Oh, for sure. It feels to me like that's a once in a lifetime, and for my friends and family that's never got any chance to come over and see me play in the National Hockey League, it's going to be an opportunity for them to see me and for me to have them all there to cheer us on. And it's a city that I grew up in, and you know, it really means a lot. So it's a really big year for me in those regards, and those games gonna mean a lot to me. So it's probably something. It's gonna be one of my highlights after, like, I'm done with my career, to just look back at these two games. I was fortunate enough to play in front of my close friends and family.
To go along those same lines, the National Hockey League brought in the Four Nations Face-Off last season, right around where the All-Star break or Olympic break would normally be. That seemed like a huge success for the league. You got to participate in that as part of Team Sweden. What was that whole experience like, and would you prefer if the NHL had more international play in the middle of the season than just the traditional All-Star activities?
Yeah, I mean, that tournament, just having, like, all the best players at the same spot and just play against the best players, it's, you can't ask for anything more. Like, it was so exciting. It was something special. Like, that first game in Montreal against Canada, just, you know, calling out the lineup on the ice and the national anthem and Mario coming out. Just, I've never been in a environment like that before. So that was so cool. And obviously the games were probably really fun to watch, but they were so much fun to play too, with a high pace and tempo and skill and just everything that went on in every game. And it was really exciting, really cool to be a part of, and huge motivation too during the season to try to make that team. It's kind of the same this year for the Olympics coming up.
Ricard, a fun one here to finish us off. What is your favorite thing, or some of your favorite things about Pittsburgh?
I think just all the sports that are going on in Pittsburgh. It's college football or the Steelers. I really come to enjoy watching the Steelers play a lot. So the amount of sports going on and the excitement for all the sports team here is fun to watch.
You got a favorite Steeler in mind, or you just like the whole team?
I like the whole team, but I got to say Alex Highsmith. He's my neighbor.
Oh, that's awesome. He's a good dude. He's a really good dude. So that's a good one to pick.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, no, he's great.
Ricard, this was awesome, man. I appreciate you taking the time. Good luck tomorrow night, and good luck this season, man. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Listen to the PM Team on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Another thank you to Ricard Raquel for joining the show. Ricard and the Penguins open up the season tomorrow night against the Rangers, 8 p.m., a nationally televised game, by the way, ESPN, as Dan Muse makes his Penguins coaching debut against former Penguins head coach, two-time Stanley Cup champion Mike Sullivan. That is tomorrow at 8 p.m. So another thank you to the Penguins and Ricard Raquel for making that happen. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up in about 1 minute, a debrief, but it will be led by intern Jack. That is next. Right now, it's an intern Jack fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Donnie Football Debrief is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Donnie Football in for the guys. I am here until 7 Monday Night Football. Coverage on The Fan begins then, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. Jags and Chiefs, it should be a pretty good one tonight, 8:15 kickoff. So an hour of overtime for me already. Intern Jack is on the board right now. He is back there helping gorgeous Charlie Borges. But it is debrief time, and it will be run by our pal, Intern Jack.
The debrief, October 6, 2025. In my one fantasy league, we also do a survivor pool to help split out money. And this week, my survivor pool choice was the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, what a tough beat on that one.
And it had me thinking, can you think of a worse way to lose a survivor pool than this game yesterday?
Probably not. It is funny. I was in a survivor pool this year for the first time in a long time, probably since high school. And I was out after last week because I picked the Green Bay Packers, who tied the Dallas Cowboys. So I was a loser in that one. Anybody who picked either Green Bay or Dallas was a loser. Man, that game yesterday, though, it looked so well in the bag. And what was it, DeMercado?
Yes, is that the Amari DeMercado.
Yeah, so funny thing about him and fantasy football, I picked him up because I had Trey Benson on my team already. James Conner already out. Benson goes on IR. I pick up this guy. I'm watching Red Zone, and I know somebody asked earlier on the YouTube chat if I stream East Red Zone. I have NFL Plus, so I normally just cast it from my phone to the TV, which is nice. I see DeMercado going like 80 yards for a touchdown, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. I knew this was going to happen. I don't put the guy in. I just pick him up to stash him, and here we go. And then I'm seeing the replays, and here we go again. Guy that fumbles the football or merely lets go of the football before he passes the goal line. And this happened just a week ago as well. I do not understand how this keeps happening. We do see it a couple of times per season. We have now seen it in back-to-back weeks. I just don't get how this happens. You have the touchdown, and you fail to make sure that you have crossed into the end zone with the football in your possession. I could not imagine being a guy, especially in DeMercado's case, who I don't think has ever scored a touchdown in the NFL. Imagine that being, hey, I'm going to have my first ever touchdown here. Going to be a 75 or 80 yard run. Puts the game away. Puts us up like 28-6. And you don't make sure that you still have that football in your grasp as you cross the goal line. I mean, I would carry that thing through the back of the end zone, and then I would like toss it to the official or whatever.
It's so bad. And also, he slowed down at around like the 10-yard line and almost got the ball punched out before he could even drop it. Like, he almost got hawked because he slowed down and stopped running at like the 10. It was a really weird one. And I think the worst part about this, back to the survivor thing, is that might not have even been the stupidest play that happened. The Cardinals picked off Cam Ward at like their own 10-yard line, and the guy that picked it off fell over without being touched and lost the ball. And then two other Cardinals players proceeded to kick it back into their own end zone, to which it was recovered by Tyler Lockett for a touchdown for the Titans. It was the goofiest play I've seen all year. And the fact that you combine that with the drop ball before crossing the goal line, and then you lose on a game-winning field goal, being the first NFL team to ever lose on a game-winning field goal 3 straight games. It was just a sequence of events, and it was just ridiculous.
So that game was full of, like, they can make a whole episode of football follies just off that game. You had the interception you just brought up of Cam Ward late in the game, the touchdown run that wasn't by Amari DeMercado, and then if I don't know if you were paying attention to the whole game, Jack, or if you just saw the highlights. This was earlier in the second half, and I don't believe it led to points. But Kyler Murray took a snap right off his face because he wasn't paying attention, and there was some miscommunication between the center and quarterback. And he goes to, like, the locker room or the blue tent. He was the first guy in league history to get a concussion off a bad snap. The Titans recovered. I don't remember if they scored a touchdown, but it was just that type of game. I am happy for Tennessee that, like, they finally got a win, and it's always cool when a rookie quarterback gets his first win. What a way to do it. I mean, there are teams that find ways to lose, and then there's whatever the Cardinals did yesterday. Like, it was that on steroids, the way that game went.
Yeah, I think those four just absurd mistakes combined with the fact that the team they were playing was 0-3 and had not shown, like, or 0-4 and not shown any life yet in those four games, and the fact that they lost by one on a game-winning field goal, I think it just makes it the most ludicrous way to lose in a Survivor Bowl.
The funny thing about the Titans' comeback, too, I do know they scored their first touchdown, made it 21-12, and I agreed with Brian Callahan at the time. He's saying, let's just kick the extra point. Let's make it an eight-point game. Let's give us hope to, just score and tie it up on our next possession. They missed the extra point. So then they're still down by two scores. They still managed to come back and win the game.
Yeah, that was the point where I was like, okay, like, there's literally no chance the Cardinals lose this game after the missed extra point. It's still a two-possession game, and the Titans don't look like they can move the ball at all. I could not believe what I was watching.
I do love those Survivor pools. Like they're fun, and they're also tough. I mean, think about how quickly into a season you see it go down the tubes. Like, I can't imagine that there are many people still going through a Survivor pool, because you all it takes is a couple of big upsets and you're done for. I mean, yesterday may have been one. I'm sure you weren't the only guy to pick Arizona. I'm sure plenty of people like me picked Green Bay a week before. How about the week that the Chargers lost to the Giants, which was also last week? I'm sure that LA was a very popular pick, and Jackson Dart beats them in his debut. So it normally doesn't even come close to lasting the full season.
Yeah, there were like seven guys left in going into last week, and five of them took the Cardinals. So it's down to two after that one.
Who was the guy, who was the player last week that dropped?
A.D. Mitchell.
That's who it was.
Which is even worse, because he struggled to get it going, like, at all after being a somewhat highly touted prospect. And, like, he finally makes, like, the play of his career and does the unthinkable and drops the ball before he gets into the end zone.
I just don't get how that keeps happening. Like,
it makes no sense.
I don't get how that happens at any level of football, especially the NFL. And for a young guy, for young players, I think it's almost even worse. You should have so much excitement about getting to score perhaps your first touchdown. The last thing you want to do is let go of the football. I mean, I don't know what the coaches would want to do drill-wise to just make sure that doesn't happen. Just make the guy run the length of the field with the football in his hand, and if he lets go of it before he reaches the goal line, he has to do another rep. Some sort of punishment, because I just don't understand how it keeps happening.
I agree with that too, and the fact that it's more ridiculous when it's lesser known guys that haven't proven themselves, and you'd think, like, their just only thought is to get into the end zone without messing around at all. Like, I think last year, didn't Jonathan Taylor do it?
Yeah, not, that sounds right. I mean, we get a couple of them every year, and I just never understand it.
Not that I'm excusing dropping the ball before you score a touchdown in any stretch of the imagination, but it would make more sense that a guy like Jonathan Taylor would do it rather than the other three guys. The last three guys to do it that weren't named Jonathan Taylor, I think, were Amari DiMercato, A.D. Mitchell, and Malachi Corley. And these guys probably in the NFL have like two career combined touchdowns.
Yeah, it will forever be odd to me. Now, you know, it's not the same as guy diving for the pylon trying to make a play. He loses possession, it goes out of the end zone, and it's a touchback. These are players that have easy touchdowns. All they have to do is finish their trot into the end zone with the football in their possession, and they let it go before it gets there. And it happens every year. We see multiple examples of it every single year. And I used to hate, I used to despise the touchback rule, but I've come around on that big time because the league is so slanted in favor of the offenses that you need something to help out the defense, and you need something to throw a bone to those guys. I don't know if they would ever want to alter the rule, but something like that that helps out the defense, bails out the defense, really, I think it's all right because so many things favor offensive play in football in 2025. Thank you, Jack. That was a fun one there to make fun of guys who cannot complete touchdowns. Just baffles me. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. 50-minute mark on the Fan. We're about 10 minutes away from that. That is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up, are the Steelers in the driver's seat of the AFC North? What happened yesterday? Why is it that the Steelers were big winners on a day that they did not even play? We get into that coming up next. Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette, he will join us around 5:15. Hodgepodge comes up at the end of the show, and then I have an hour of overtime with you. In for the guys right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.